from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, verse 44 and following. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Luke, often in his writing, is an author of repetition. In other words, when something is profound in his understanding about the gospel narrative, Luke will repeat himself. Such is the case in our scripture today. When we hear just at the end of this passage where he shares the word blessed or blessing three times to end his gospel. So it seems as though Luke doesn't want us to miss the importance and perhaps the gift that's found in blessings. Well, for me, and I'm sure for some of you, it helps to pause and give consideration once more of what is a blessing? What does it mean to be blessed by God? It's a word that we use quite often in our culture. Someone sneezes and we say, "Bless you." Or if something bad has happened in their life, we say, "Bless them." Or perhaps we receive a turn of good fortune or a gift from another and we say, "Oh, what a blessing." A word that can be used in many contexts. But really, if we examine it closely, all of those contexts speak of love. It's a genuine gift of a special kind of love. That's what a blessing is. And that's what Almighty God gives to His people when He offers unto us, His children, His blessing. It's God's special favor for us. Don't y'all like being the favorite? You know, I don't know about all y'all, but I like to think that every once in a while, I'm the favorite. I know it's just a dream in my household, but it's a dream we hold on to. Oh, to be the favorite. Manya just kills me with the love a mother has for her children. They can mess up and they get out of it, no big deal. I mess up, well, you know the rest of the story, right? It's something, as children, to be favored. And they're so adorned, the love of a mother. She hugs around on those boys, pets on them. And I asked her, I said, "Why don't you hug on me like that?" She said, "Well, when I hug on you, you always ask a bunch of questions, and they don't ask any questions." There is something special about being a favorite. And friends, that's the gift of God's blessing for us, that He looks upon us as His children, as the favored child. And it is appropriate on this day, as we celebrate the ascension of our God, as we celebrate the final blessing of Jesus to His friends, to His family, to God's children, that we celebrate it also on Mother's Day. Is there any greater example of preferential favor than that that a mother has for her children? You know, when I think of the love of a mother, it is that unconditional love. In other words, guys, let me tell you, young folks, in case you didn't know, it doesn't matter what you ever do, your mama's not going to stop loving you. Isn't that good news? She may get mad at you every once in a while, but the love is not conditional upon our behavior. That's the gift of a mother. That's the gift that Mary, the mother of Jesus, graced upon our Savior of the world. I think it's no coincidence that when God chose to send a Savior to the world, that He sent Him first to a mother, to one to nurture Him. In the very essence of love. Not only is the love of a mother unconditional, but it's also unending. It doesn't end. Isn't that beautiful? Throughout our life, we continue to be favored, special above all others. In addition to being unconditional and unending, the love of a mother is undeserved. We can't earn it. You see, that's the favor, I think, that we hear of when we understand more fully what it means to be blessed as children of God. It means to have that preferential love, that undeserved love, that unconditional love, that unending love that is modeled through Mary to Jesus and then to Jesus, to His friends and family and the world around Him. But you know, when I think more fully about the word blessing, to be blessed doesn't mean that everything works out just perfectly, right? To be blessed doesn't mean that we get everything that we want. A blessing doesn't mean that our continued existence as children of God is going to be faced with no troubles. We're going to face peril. Jesus said Himself, in this world, you will face heartache, you'll face peril, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You know, I think again about Mary, the mother of Jesus. As the passage of Luke, the gospel began, some of us are familiar with the call upon her life, where the angel appeared to her in chapter 1, verse 42. And here's the words after he appeared. After she went and visited Elizabeth, here's what Elizabeth said to Mary: "Blessed are you among women." She was blessed. And Mary embraced those same words. I'm going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And here's what Mary said. In what some call the Magnificat, she said, "All generations will call me blessed." Now let's remember, though, how blessed was Mary? Mary remained in her poverty. Mary, in her blessing, was called to have a child out of wedlock. Mary, even though she was blessed by God, certainly was alienated from her community, ostracized for becoming pregnant by some means other than her husband to whom she'd been engaged. This is the blessing that God called to give Mary. And even after the Savior was born, it still was not easy street. We remember the story of Scripture, whereas Mary and Joseph and Jesus were in Bethlehem. The ruler named Herod sought his life even from his very birth. Can you imagine, mothers? The turmoil, the pain that Mary must have been plagued with, the safety of her own child as they fled into Egypt. At his very birth, seeking survival, and ultimately it would be Jesus, her son, who would be betrayed, rejected, denied, and murdered. This is a call and a reminder to us that blessings, friend, do not mean we won't face trials. But I'm convinced that the blessing that the angel gave Mary and the blessing that Jesus gave to his friends even as he ascended into heaven was this. It's God's special love for us that no matter what we face, friends, his love is there to sustain us, to comfort us, and to also eventually conquer whatever we face. You see, that's the hope of heaven. That's what we preach and proclaim as Christian people, the place where there are no more tears. There are no more goodbyes. There are no more bullying, betrayal, questions, persecution. There's only life, love, and joy forever. Friends, that's the gift of God's blessing eternally for us as his children. But even until then, church, hold on to this with me. Even until what is to come, God blesses us daily with his strength, with his grace. You see, I think that's what Jesus offered as he ascended into heaven, as he spoke to those friends, his blessing to them, his special love from that day forward and forever. But you know, in our scripture today, you might find it intriguing that not only does Jesus bless his friends, but our text ends with this challenging call to us as people of faith. It says that his friends were continually from that day forward in the temple blessing God. How do we, who are blessed, also bless the one of all creation? How do we become a blessing to Almighty God? Well, it seems the disciples give us the model when it tells us that they were continually in the temple. They gathered in worship as we are today to proclaim God's glory and worship him and enjoy him forever. You see, it's no accident that Luke bracketed his gospel in worship. Have you ever noticed that? That this scripture began with Elizabeth, with her husband, the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, in the temple, doing his priestly duty and leading people in worship. That's how Luke began his gospel in worship. And here is how Luke ends his gospel in worship. He's saying to us, friends, this is the beginning and the ending of your faith. This is how we, as those gifted by God's grace, this is how we bless our Lord. We worship him. But you know, there's something else. Something else that caused me to want to have a heart of worship. It's because I understand in a far greater or lesser way than Mary, the mother of Jesus, that life isn't easy. That being blessed by God doesn't mean we won't face adversity. And because that is the truth, friends, I worship all the more. You know why? Because here is the words that Nehemiah, the prophet, said in Nehemiah 8. He said this about worship, friends. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you receive that with me today? See what I think Nehemiah is saying to us, that when we worship Almighty God, not only do we bless Him, dear church, but we also bless ourselves with a renewed joy that comes only from on high. Friends, I believe in worship. I believe in blessing God. I stand before you today and I proclaim I believe in worship, not because I'm a pastor and preacher of the faith. No, friends, I stand before you today and I'm a pastor because I believe in worship. May we, those who are blessed, bless the world around us through the joy of our Lord. Amen.